Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us family, for adopting us into part of your family, and to giving us your things that are such great blessings to us. The greatest blessings we'll ever receive, like forgiveness and your word and encouragement from brothers and sisters in Christ, and mercy that never ends, and grace from you. Father, as we dive into your word today, help us to see how dependent we are on you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So did you know that as followers of Jesus, in the church of Jesus, God calls us to interdependence? Now, I know what you're saying. Hey, Pastor Danny, like it's Independence Day tomorrow. We're free. Like, we're going to be celebrating Independence Day this week, tomorrow. Well, maybe so, but today we're celebrating Interdependence Day. We start every conversation as followers of Jesus with our absolute dependence on God. Complete dependence on God? I mean, that kind of rubs our old Adam, that old sinful person before we knew Jesus, the wrong way. We don't like that. To have no other gods, I mean, but I want to be my own God. I want to make the decisions in my life, what I know is right and wrong. I want to call the shots. Who cares what God says? Fear, love, and trust in God above all things? No. There are plenty of things that I love either more than God, at least as much as God, because frankly, I don't trust him all that much. God may spoil my fun. He may not let me do what I want to do, and I have a problem with that. Friends, if that's you, if that's your attitude in your heart today, that's sin speaking. Because any time we think we know better than God, any time we want to tune God out and not listen to what he has to say on the matter, that's sin. That's our old sinful nature rising up inside of us. We want to be independent of our Creator God as human beings, just like our first parents, Adam and Eve, from Genesis, like Genesis 1 through Genesis 3, the desire for independence from God, it led to their downfall. And it leads to our downfall too. In fact, that desire leads us to death. And that same desire for independence from God, it also leads us to not loving or caring for our neighbor in ways that we should. Look at Adam and Eve again. Once they took the bite out of that unidentified fruit, they started going after each other. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And then what happens in the next generation? Cain kills Abel, his brother. I mean, that doesn't sound like it's really caring for one another. That's not really being neighborly. It's selfishness, and it stems from our desire to be independent of God. But our true need is really full dependence on God from start to finish, relying on God for forgiveness, depending on God for eternal life, depending on God for what we have in life in the here and the now. His promises are sure. The peace and mercy that he provides you and me are centered in what's sure and reliable, namely, the cross of Jesus Christ. If you trust in yourself to be your own God, if you take pride in yourself and think you can provide for your own salvation, you're going to be sorely disappointed. You're going to let yourself down. But as Paul says, in this text that we're in the middle of right now, far be it for me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ. You can lean on him. You can depend on him for your very life, for your eternal life. Because on that cross, Jesus gave you everything that you needed to be saved. He shed his blood. He atoned for your sins. His righteousness is credited to you in your account through faith. Jesus is the only one who doesn't take stuff out of your account. He actually puts it in. It's an awesome thing. You are no longer cut off from God. You're no longer alienated. You're reconciled back to God, at peace with him because of Christ. And friends, this changes everything. God changes your status from enemy to friend, from slave to free, from dead to alive, from outsider to God's dearly beloved child. He's claimed you as his child in baptism by what he's done. God's brought you into his family, the church. And this is where we live in community with one another, all of us as members of the body of Christ. The cross of Christ does indeed change everything. I learned this from a pastor named Irwin Gray. If the cross of Christ forgives your sin but does not affect your greed, then the cross of Christ is too small. If the cross of Christ does not affect your hatred toward others, then the cross of Christ is too small. If the cross of Christ does not affect how you're controlling your life, then the cross of Christ is too small. If the cross of Christ does not show you how you are totally and completely dependent on Jesus, then the cross is too small. Because the cross of Christ transforms life, because there's nothing like the blood of Jesus. And all it takes is one drop. And when that blood and that wine gets in you, when the blood of Jesus is shed, it's a holy transfusion. It's a holy transformation that affects every single aspect of our being in life. So don't minimize the cross and the blood of Jesus as simply a one-way ticket to heaven when you die. Because the blood of Jesus rings down heaven on earth. It's the blood of Jesus affects the now, your life, and the not yet, your eternal life. It affects all of it. Jesus is holistic in his healing and his grace. So since the cross of Christ changes everything, what does it include? Well, it includes our life together as the family of grace. Our life together is marked by mutual care and love. That's what I mean when I say interdependence. It means we rely on one another. We build one another up. We're the body of Christ. We don't pull ourselves apart. We unite. We are the church. God has made us his family, and he's done it for this purpose. Through our life together as the church, through our regular receiving of communion, the bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, through our regular celebrating, when we see somebody baptized, whether baby, adult, it doesn't matter. When Jesus does work through the gift of baptism, we're to celebrate and encourage one another in that. When we are strengthened in our faith and our love for one another, that's an awesome gift that we are given. You know, even your physical presence here on Sunday mornings or anytime we worship, that actually helps the fellow brothers and sisters in Christ around you, because they're encouraged just by the sight of you. They're encouraged by maybe the fact of the words that you use with them, of the conversations you have, the handshake or the hug that you share. It matters. And it's by getting to know one another, talking to one another after worship, listening to one another in Bible class discussions, talking to one another during the week. This is how we discover who our brothers and sisters are, what their needs are, what their joys are. We find out how we may be able to help one another in some really practical ways. And that's really what happens in a family, right? You get to know each other. You get to see, like, I know if I'm going into a store and there's something that my wife has said, like, that I just know that she likes, maybe I could surprise her by just picking that one thing up. Even if it's just something very simple. That's what happens in family. And notice in our text, the Apostle Paul, he speaks of the church's family. He addresses the Christians there in Galatia as brothers. And that's family language. And the church is God's family. We're all part of the family of Grace Lutheran Church. And it's no accident that you are, in fact, here. We're part of also this great, big, extended family called the Holy Christian Church in the world. We're children of God through Jesus. And that makes us all brothers and sisters in Christ. We've all been brought into his family. We've been adopted into his family. So, when one part of the family's hurting, we're all hurting. When one part of the family's rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. When one brother or sister goes astray, we seek to bring him or her back. Paul writes this, "Brothers, if anyone's caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." This is done in a very humble, gentle spirit of restoration. When one member of the family gets off the path, we want to see that brother or sister restored, brought back. And as family, we bear one another's burdens. That's what we do as followers of Jesus. Christ has given us this commandment to love one another as he's loved us. That's how we're called to live. And God has given us the Holy Spirit to help us do that. Because on our own, what are we going to do? We're not going to be interdependent. We are going to be dependent on ourselves. But through the Holy Spirit helps us. And the fruit of the Spirit, what Pastor Rich talked so well about last week, is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You and I are called and equipped by Jesus to a life of good works. Paul writes, "Let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season will we reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." So the love of Christ for us flows out into a life of love from us. Good works, we do good to others. That's love put into action. And it's not just warm and fuzzy feelings in our heart. It's love put into action through our hands, our feet, and our mouths. What are the ways this week we can show love to others? Through your hands, your feet, and your mouths. Is there someone maybe you haven't seen around in a while who could use a phone call or a visit? Is there a family that may be struggling that you can help out in some way? Is there someone who could use a ride to church or to the doctor's office or to a treatment? These are just a few of the ways we can serve and we can support one another interdependently as the church, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know you can think of many other opportunities. Don't just think of them, do them. We're called to do these things for one another, but we're also called to do this for people who are not part of the Grace family, but who may be people in your circles of influence. And I know I use that word a lot, and you're probably tired of it, but it's important to hear what that means, because that's what we're called to. The circles of influence in your neighborhood, your coworkers, your classmates, friends, your fellow Knoxvillians, maybe you don't even know real well. Why? Because we are people filled with the love of Jesus. So tomorrow, go ahead, celebrate Independence Day. It's fitting as Americans for us to do so. But don't forget that tomorrow and every day for us as followers of Jesus is Interdependence Day. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, a new creation. We love and care for one another. We restore the wandering brother and sister. We bear one another's burdens, and we do good to one another in our life together. All this by God's grace is us working through the gospel. And as Paul concludes, I'll conclude today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.